BBC News with Stuart McIntosh. South Sudan's president, Salva Kiir, says he's prepared to enter into talks with his rival and former deputy, Riek Machar, to end 4 days of violence that left hundreds dead. The offer of dialogue comes after a direct request from the UN Secretary-General, which urged him to seek peace at all costs. Mr. Kiir has accused Riek Machar of staging a military coup, which Mr. Machar has strongly denied. He counterclaims that the president is trying to quash his critics. Danny Aberhard reports.
Diplomats at the United Nations fear South Sudan might be sliding towards civil war. They've called for a political solution. Now President Kiir says he'll talk with his arch-rival, but he told reporters in Juba that he didn't know what any potential talks with Mr. Machar might achieve. And it's far from clear how any talks would happen. Mr. Machar says he's currently in the vicinity of Juba, but on the run from government forces. Some sort of strained normality has returned to the streets of Juba, but fighting has spread elsewhere in the meantime.
Egypt's public prosecutor has ordered that the ousted former president Mohamed Morsi stand trial on charges of conspiring with foreign militant groups to commit terrorist acts in Egypt. More than 30 other Islamists have also been charged. From Cairo, Orla Geerin.
A statement from Egypt's top prosecutor describes the latest charges against Mohamed Morsi as the biggest case of conspiracy in the country's history. If convicted, he and fellow leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood could get the death penalty. They are accused of forming an alliance with the militants of Hamas and Hezbollah to carry out violent attacks. Prosecutors claim the Brotherhood targeted security forces in the rest of Sinai Peninsula and beyond.
The Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has criticised an investigation into alleged high-level corruption in his government, calling it a dirty operation. He told a news conference he would not allow political plotting, and he said some people wanted to stop Turkey's rapid growth on the world stage. From Istanbul, our correspondent James Reynolds reports.
The Deputy Prime Minister, Bülent Arınç, has criticised the corruption investigation as a planned operation, but he refused to say who might be behind it. Mr. Arınç spoke after a meeting in the capital Ankara with the Prime Minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and several other ministers. The Deputy Prime Minister also told reporters that the government would not engage in any effort to block the judicial process.
The German Chancellor Angela Merkel is to hold talks with her French counterpart, President François Hollande. They're trying to reach a compromise on plans for uniting the Eurozone's banks under one controlling authority. The German government is wary of shouldering some of the responsibility for bailing out foreign banks, while French authorities are a main champion of the scheme. This is the World News from the BBC. Nigeria's president, Goodluck Jonathan, has lost his majority in the lower house of parliament after 37 MPs from his People's Democratic Party defected to the main opposition group, the All Progressives Congress. The APC was boosted last month by recruiting a number of state governors who'd also broken away from Mr. Jonathan's party. The PDP has won every national election since the end of military rule in 1999. The Russian parliament has approved an amnesty law which could lead to the release of Greenpeace activists and members of the protest band Pussy Riot. The amnesty could be applied as early as Thursday, but opposition politicians want it extended to all political prisoners. Faiza Ulasan is one of the Greenpeace activists set for an early release, but she has mixed feelings.
For now, I'm not excited. We are being granted amnesty for peacefully protesting in the Arctic. We did nothing wrong. We've spent in jail for doing nothing wrong. And now we're deemed guilty but granted amnesty. And 26 of us will be able to go home after this, sooner or later. But what will this mean for our Russian colleagues who still have the rest of their lives in this country?
A court in the United States has convicted a former BP engineer of obstruction of justice in connection with the Gulf of Mexico oil spill 3 years ago. Kurt Mix was found guilty of deleting hundreds of text messages to his supervisor at BP and a contractor in the weeks after the accident. A man who was once considered one of the world's top wine collectors has been found guilty of committing fraud by selling fake vintages. A court in New York heard that Rudy Kerenawan had made millions by blending cheap products in his kitchen in California and selling them to wealthy investors around the world. Labels, empty bottles and recipes were found when the house was raided. BBC News.